And we're back. Thursday. One more day till Friday.
Yep.
And then the All-Star game.
Yep.
A little bit of what we're going to go over today. So the usual kind of way we do things. We're going to go over the picks from last night, see how we did. I didn't do so hot. Again, it's a little streak for me. God, just call me Johnny Goudreau.
Not horrible, but just kind of mediocre.
A little mediocre. And then we're going to go over the games from last night. And then we're going to just discuss general news and gossip, the usual stuff, a lot of All-Star game. Not that much news, but we do have a really fun alternative All-Star team roster that we're announcing today.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trump would be very proud of it. And then we're going to give our high and low value picks for the night. So let's jump right into it. I'll start with my picks from last night. We both picked Connor McDavid as our top player. I think that was solid with the games at hand that were available yesterday.
I did say conditionally on John Gibson not playing, and Gibson did play. Not that it mattered because he let in four goals, but so technically, my first overall pick was Austin Matthews, who had a better game.
My other picks, Gabriel Landeskog. He got an assist. So there's that assist and a plus one and a shot on goal.
McDavid got an assist, a plus two, just no shots. So
exactly. So Landeskog wasn't terrible, and he was way cheaper. Calvin Pickard, on the other hand, not so hot. I thought he'd get a win. He didn't get a win. My pick on Pickard was conditional on the Avs winning and beating Vancouver.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Yeah, that was, in hindsight, that was stupid.
Well, the 927 save percentage isn't horrible, but
that's been the story of Pickard, though. He's had great save percentages. Just can't put the puck in the net and win.
All right, my value picks were Connor Brown, who did pretty much nothing. He got a plus one and a shot. And Ghost Bear also didn't do anything, plus one and one shot. There really weren't a whole lot of, like, great picks last night in general.
No. Nope.
Besides Dreisaitl. But, yeah, well, whatever. Let's move on to the games. So we'll go into detail why there weren't a whole bunch of great picks yesterday. Let's start in Anaheim, where we had Cam Talbot making a 26-save shutout. McDavid had plus two assists, we just mentioned. Dreisaitl had two goals. That's
not bad.
Pretty much, I think Dreisaitl was the only multi-goal scorer last night. Oh, no, Sven Bershi got two.
Yep.
So those were, like, the best picks you could have made for DraftKings or FanDuel, but we didn't make them. So.
No, we didn't pick those guys.
All right.
It was just a weird night, and also the home team, all the home teams lost.
Yep.
Every single home team lost. It just was not a good day for home ice. And then in Colorado, losses continue to pile up. It's just a norm now, I think. Mm-hmm. At this point, a loss is a win. But Bo Horvat keeps putting up points. He got an assist last night, and Sven Bershi came up big with two goals, as we said. Both teams were really strong in net. Both goalies played really well.
Mm-hmm.
The difference maker was just that Vancouver can put the puck in the back of the net, and that was about it. Good performance on both sides. Vancouver gets the win, 3-2. And then we go to Detroit, where it was 4-0 for Toronto.
4-0, and nobody had more than 1 point. So the scoring and assists was, like, totally spread out, which, again, makes for pretty bad fantasy.
Yeah.
Unless you, like, stacked a line or something. Even then, a lot of the lines didn't really work all that well together. Like, you have Kadri and Mitch Marner play together. Marner got nothing. Kadri got an assist.
It's just weird.
Yeah, JVR got a goal, but his line mates didn't really do much, I don't think.
JVR's been on fire.
Austin Matthews got a goal, but nobody assisted each other.
I
four goals, and there were three assists.
One is unassisted.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but there's no secondary assists, right?
You're right.
So
that makes no sense. Well, it's weird.
Yeah. Although this weird total column does say five, so I must be missing something. So I guess there was five assists on four goals, but still, that's pretty low amount of assists. That's a lot of, like,
only one goal, like, had a secondary.
Away, yeah, takeaway stuff. Or, you know, there was a lot of unassisted type goals. Yeah, so
true.
Austin Matthews' first goal was unassisted. Then Roman Polak had a two-assist goal.
And Sasha
Frederick Anderson got an
one.
Assist. Why not?
Hey, there you go.
Yep.
JVR's been on fire. If you haven't been paying attention to him, you really should.
Yep.
That guy's been nuts. Remember when you traded him to me?
Yep. I remember.
I love that trade. That was fun.
All about, well, I got Bergeron, which didn't really work out so well, but now he's starting to, I mean, he shoots so much that I haven't lost shots pretty much all season, but
I've lost shots, so I guess I lost that.
So, all right, let's get out of here and move on to the Rangers.
Can we skip this one? That was that was frustrating. The Rangers played an amazing second period. They were dominating the play. It almost seemed like they were on the power play for 10 minutes, which they really weren't, but they were dominating the play. They were always in the Philly zone, getting a lot of good opportunities. Mason stood really tall. He did a great job. He had some amazing saves that second and even some of the first. And then in the third period, the Rangers decided to fall apart. I don't know exactly what happened. They just decided not to play anymore. They also just kind of seem to be afraid to shoot the puck, which tends to happen sometimes with the Rangers since everyone is really pass happy there for some reason. But in that third, they just kind of didn't show up and lost 2-0, and Mason gets the shutout.
Voracek did get a goal and an assist, so he was another good fantasy play for last night.
Oh, yeah, the Flyers did things.
Yeah, well, sort of. I expected there to be a lot of penalties in this game. There were some. There weren't a ton. There were 6 total penalties, which is more than any other game, but still not, like, off the charts or anything.
Yeah, the Flyers took quite a few penalties. They set themselves up for mistakes, but the Rangers just couldn't capitalize.
Yeah, so 3 apiece, actually. They took 2 early. There was no capitalization, and then pretty much immediately when the Rangers took a penalty, they had to pay for it.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the top performers of the night. Who do you have?
I'm giving my top performer to the goalies. All the goalies, but specifically Anderson and Mason. They both played incredibly well, especially Anderson. It was weird to get a 3 shutout night. It was a little kind of almost easy to go right with a goalie. You could have gone Talbot, you could have gone Anderson, you could have gone Mason, but they all played really, really well. Mm-hmm. Even Picard, like I said, played really well. So it was a good night for the goalies. I'm giving it up to all of them.
All right, I'm going to go with Sven Bärsche. We talked about him in the testers and nobody heard, so I'm not sure why I'm mentioning it, but he got the opening goal and the game-winning goal and 3 shots. He didn't get a plus, which means he was on there for goal against, took a couple of goal againsts. But actually, he might have gotten a power play goal, so maybe he's only 1 goal against. But at any rate, he's definitely shown flashes of brilliance. I'm looking forward to see what he's got going on in the next couple of years. How about your underperformers?
My underperformer is going to go to Ryan Getzlaf. He had a -1, and that was it.
Yep.
He didn't do anything else except be on the ice for a goal against.
It's pretty difficult to pick, like, clear bad players from last night. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, -3. Even in these blowout, like, 4-0 wins, there's nobody that was, like, stand out awful. Yeah. Even the goalies, really. I'm still going to go with Gibson, I guess, because I don't really have much another option. He posted up an 8-2-6, 4 goal against. He only had 23 shots, so that's not very good. But, I mean, considering some of the performances we've seen from goalies lately, it's better than a lot of 4-0 games have turned out.
I mean, some of those goalies have had 4-0 games, and then they turned it into 8-0 games or something, right? Chad Johnson.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Let's not talk about Chad Johnson. Bärsche did get a power play goal, so he only had 1 goal against him while he's on the ice in even strength.
That explains it.
Yeah. All right.
Straight into news and gossip.
I think the easiest thing to go into is the coaching change for the Islanders last week.
Yep.
We're starting to see some implications of what happened there, but we don't really know how much this is affecting things. We know Doug Weight doesn't want to change the system a whole lot. And a lot of the lines have stayed pretty similar. There was some mixing up because some players are out. Beauvillier has a hurt foot or something, some day-to-day thing. Anders Lee was sick. So two nights ago, had Kuhlman on the top line with Tavares and Bailey, which worked out. He was basically playing Anders Lee's role of jamming up the crease and causing problems.
It changed the whole game, too, when he did that.
Yeah.
Because that's when the Islanders really started attacking and scoring. He'd put that line out, and all of a sudden, just
yeah. When Bailey got a bank shot off of Seth Jones' skate because Seth Jones was battling in front with Kuhlman, and Kuhlman shuffled into backhander later in a pretty similar play.
I think we're also seeing a lot of more open space for the Isles now. They also look happier. They also look like they care. Tavares is actually skating hard, and he's not frustrated every single play. And we see it with Chimera, who has so much open space now to skate and use his speed.
Yeah. Tavares is always angry for some reason. If he doesn't score on, like, every shot, he gets pissed.
It's because people have to... it's because he has to do interviews after.
Yeah.
God, he always looks like he hates those things. Now the best one. So if the Avalanche weren't bad already, I can't imagine... I don't understand this, and I don't know how this is supposed to make them better, but according to Adam Dater in Colorado, the Avalanche will not be holding morning skates for the remainder of the season.
I don't even know what to make of that. Like, are they thinking they're, like, exhausting their players or something? I can't imagine how that's beneficial to anybody.
No, I think it's actually beneficial. It's helping them get that first overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing they, I could be thinking at this point. Like, there's the only team that's even competing with them for the bottom slot is Arizona, and they're actually kind of pulling away a little bit now.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't know in what way that would make it. I don't know how that would help. Yeah. Maybe, I guess, like you said, I think they think they're over-practiced, but that's just weird. I don't know. It makes no sense. So, moving on from that, something a little bit more exciting, the All-Star Game. Malkin's injured, so he's out, and he just got replaced today by Cam Atkinson.
Did he? All right, that makes
sense.
Yep,
so there you go. So that's the sub-in. I'm actually really excited for it. I don't know about you, but I've gone to quite a few Kings games because I used to live in Los Angeles, and they put on a really, really good show. I haven't been to an arena yet that puts on a better intro and a more exciting product outside of the players on the ice. So I'm really excited to see what both the Kings can do and how they use the power of film and television and radio and all that kind of creativeness that exists in California and Los Angeles to the use in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. You know, there's always a lot of apprehension towards the All-Star game. A lot of fans don't really like it, and but what it really is a way to bring in new potential fans, because you're going to be able to see the best players kind of having fun and like showing off skills you're probably not going to see in a regular game, you know, behind the back and lacrosse shots and all that good stuff.
Yeah, like when Shea Weber hit that crazy slap shot, and even Zdeno Chara back in the day.
Yeah.
I remember I'd have friends who had no idea, like, anything about hockey, had no idea who Shea Weber was, but they were sharing around this video of Shea Weber shooting the puck over 108 miles per hour or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what it does. And not to mention, I think when a game is held in a place like LA where players are naturally going to have fun because the weather's nice, there's things to do, it's a relaxed atmosphere, I think it creates a relaxed and fun atmosphere that the fans enjoy and the players enjoy.
So I'm just going to briefly mention, like, a player that I don't... They put PK Subban in for Nashville, and I think that's sort of weird. Yeah. He's been injured for a while. And that opens up a slot that really Pickering probably should have taken for Crawford to be the fourth Blackhawk in.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you could also just take Corey Crawford out and put in Pickering.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They put snubbed in Rene so hard.
And then I would have taken Subban out and just had Rene be the sole Predator representative. I mean, you're putting a lot on Subban to say, like, oh, you haven't played for, you know, it's been like a month, I think.
Yeah.
And he hasn't put up like crazy numbers yet, and say he's an All-Star just because he's, you know, kind of popular. That's all it is.
It's only because people love PK Subban.
Yeah.
Also, I'm gonna go on a limb here and say that, yep, he's the only black player.
Nah, Wayne Simmons.
Wayne Simmons didn't make it.
He's right there.
Oh, he did. He's the second black player. Yes, there are two.
Diversity.
I thought he was the only one. There has to be one in the East, one in the West. Hey, good for the NHL. But that's totally why PK Subban made, not because he's black. That's God, I'm digging myself a hole here.
I mean, I would have, if I changed this bit, I would have taken Crawford out. I would have put Pekka-Rinne in. I probably would have taken Subban out, and I probably would have put in Shattenkirk.
Shattenkirk would have been a good pick.
Yeah. He's the top scoring defenseman in that division, and he doesn't make it. I don't understand. Like, at anything, you still have four Blackhawks. Take Duncan Keith out. Shattenkirk deserves to be there more than Duncan Keith does.
You know who I don't understand?
Who's that?
Franz Nielsen for the Red Wings.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me.
When did these rosters finalize? Because maybe
they finalized them a few weeks ago. No, not even a few weeks ago. Well, they might have finalized them a few weeks ago and then distributed them or something, and then they were released, but...
I mean, if we're going to take
Nielsen, makes no sense.
If we're going to take injured players, Vanek should have been in there, in my opinion. If you're going to take one Red Wing, it's got to be either Zetterberg or Vanek. Yeah. Vanek is having a good season. He's been injured, but less injured than Subban.
I would have taken Zetterberg.
Yeah,
all day.
All right, whatever. That segues nicely into actually what we're going to talk about, which is we kind of spoil a little bit, but we've picked our own alternative All-Star teams.
So we're going to announce our rosters for the alternative All-Star teams. using almost the same rules as the NHL. Essentially, the rules are that you have to select one captain from each division. The selection is based on fantasy performance, judged by us.
Which is why Taze is not going to be showing up for anybody.
Exactly. Taze is not going to show up, and there's not going to be four Blackhawks. There has to be at least one player from each team, no more than two from each team. And we made the exception that the host city can have three players if we so choose. Each division fields six forwards, three defensemen, and two goalies. And here in the alternative All-Star Team universe, there are no injuries, so players that are currently injured and say they can't go have to go. We are making them go.
But of course, they have to have had played enough games to be representative of their overall skill for the year.
Exactly. We didn't just go, you know, average points per game and then select them based on that performance. It's guys who have really contributed and shocked us and surprised us and wowed us during the fantasy season so far. So it's also a good way to reflect and see who has done incredibly well, because we always, whenever you have a guy that's really good, I think especially in podcasts and in articles and everything, you tend to not talk about the best guys because you know they're the best guys. They don't really get recognition in fantasy. You're always looking for that buy low candidate, sell high candidate. That's where all the work is done. Mm-hmm. And then you just let the other guys sit in the roster. So this is a good time to reflect and give those guys the credit they deserve.
All right, so why don't you start off by telling me the picks you made for the Metro forwards, and then I'll tell you how and why you are wrong.
Okay, let's cue our backup music to make this exciting. And now I will announce my Metro roster. As captain, I am selecting Sidney Crosby from the Pittsburgh Penguins with 28 goals and 26 assists on the season. The other forwards are going to be Alex Ovechkin, Evgeny Malkin, Jeff Skinner from Carolina, who I like a lot and I think he deserves it, Wayne Simmonds from Philadelphia, and John Tavares from the Islanders.
Okay, I agree with about half, and literally half. My captain is I'm going to take Alex Ovechkin. The reason I'm selecting him as the captain is because of his presence in All-Star games. He really loves this stuff, and you see it when he embraces his really like bitter enemies like Malkin and Crosby in the shootouts. He has a lot of fun with it, and I think that makes him a good captain for this. I've also taken Malkin and Crosby because it's impossible not to. They're two of the highest point getters in the entire NHL right now. Malkin, even for him, is having a career year.
Yep.
Crosby, even for him, is having a career year. It's pretty ridiculous. Beyond that, I took the player I thought was the most snubbed before Malkin decided he wasn't going to play or whatever in the actual All-Star game, Cam Atkinson. He's having a phenomenal year. Talk about career years. This is a career maker for Atkinson. I took Taylor Hall because I had to, I think. the only other option was like take a defenseman. You can't take Schneider. Schneider was the easy go-to for the Devils, and he's having a horrible year. There's talk about taking Kincaid. I considered that, but he just hasn't played enough.
Yep.
His save percentage is above 920, so he's like reasonably good, but I think he only has like 13 starts, which just isn't enough for an All-Star game. So he didn't make it. Which leaves my last pick, and you'd think being an Islanders fan, I would take Tavares, but I'm not going to. Going to take Jakub Voracek. It was between him and Simmonds. Simmonds also having a great year. Voracek has a nice bounce back year. He was pretty mediocre last year. He's showing that he's got it all again. This is reminiscent of 2 years ago when he put up point of game pace and shocked basically the world. Nobody really expected that much out of him. They expected him to be, you know, 50, 60 point guy, and he just burst out of the gate and never let up. So it's good to see him coming back. He's going to be probably top 3-round pick next season, I would imagine.
Yep.
And this season you could have got him in like, depending on how deep your league is, you probably could have got him in like the 8th or 9th round, maybe even later. All right, so let's move on to defensemen.
So for defensemen, I have obviously my favorite Ranger, well, second favorite Ranger to Lundqvist, Ryan McDonagh. Secondly, I have Zach Werenski, and this is where all the boos start and they yell at me, Damon Severson with minus 22 on the season. To be fair, this was impossible. I was between.
I was between. Not an all-star. The guy is not an all-star. Not yet.
I couldn't help it. What happened was I really wanted to put Jeff Skinner. I thought of all the Hurricanes, he was the one that deserved it. And I thought he actually deserved it over Taylor Hall. That's why I didn't put Taylor Hall in there.
He does.
And then I didn't have any Devils, and the Devils are awful. And so I had to pick someone, and I obviously couldn't put Justin Falk anymore. And so I looked up the best defenseman on the on the Devils. And of course, the best defenseman of the Devils is ranked almost like 300th in every league. Mm. But, so I had to pick Damon Severson. I know, I'm a terrible commissioner. Who do you have in your defenseman?
Jeff Skinner hasn't had a point in 5 games.
He's having a career season, though.
Is he?
Amazing. I'm almost positive he's on pace for a career season.
He's on pace for like 60 points.
Career season for him.
Or 50 or 60.
Well, Justin Falk's not doing too hot.
He's doing fine when he's not broken, which is always. So I took Justin Falk.
Of course.
Because you obviously aren't going to take Cam Ward or any of the goalies. I mean,
or Damon Severson.
I mean, Jesus. Oh, it feels bad. Ryan McDonagh is having a great year. I think he, especially for the position he got drafted in, he's doing very well. And especially in hits leagues, right? He's a physical defenseman.
Yep.
Nick Leddy is my last defenseman pick. Not necessarily because he has so many points, which he does. He has a pretty reasonable point total, but it's because of the utility and what he brings to the Islanders as an organization. You watch Leddy play and how he plays with that team. He's really fast. He's the zone enterer a lot of times on the power play, which is pretty rare to have your defenseman be the guy that bursts the zone, crosses the blue line, and then drops back to a forward. But that's the type of player Leddy is, and I think he'll be really fun at the All-Star game. A fast, skilled, handsy guy on defense. So those are my defenseman picks for the Metro. Let's move on to goalies.
I wanted Nick Leddy, too. Damn it, Severson. So my starting goalie in the Metro is going to be Sergei Bobrovsky, and he's going to be backed up by Braden Holtby.
I can't argue with that. I have both the same two. It's really no contest. Actually, there's a small contest. Thomas Greiss is having a great year. He is slightly behind Holtby in terms of save percentage, but he's doing fine. And really, he's had, considering the start the Islanders had to the season, he had to really work for it. You see him play some of these games where the Islanders are getting dominated, and he stands on his head. If you watch the highlights for the Flyers game, there's more save highlights than there are goals. Anyway.
I should mention he's an Islanders fan. Just saying. Just putting that out there.
I didn't pick him.
It was on there, and I called him out. I was like, Thomas Greiss, what? And then he switched it to Braden Holtby, so I have to call him out.
Honestly, if the Metro wasn't so stacked, if Columbus was playing like Columbus, Cam Atkinson wouldn't be on there, and there probably would have been another Washington player, and that would have freed up the goalie spot for Greiss.
Honestly, the Metro was the hardest one for me.
It's so hard
to make. So hard to make my roster.
It's like every team on there has a lot of players that deserve to be in, except for arguably Carolina and the Devils.
Clearly. Yep.
And the Islanders are mediocre, honestly, but as far as fantasy perspectives at the moment.
Yeah. How about you start us off in the Atlantic?
Oh, the Atlantic. All right. I've got Brad Marchand as my first pick. He's having a career year obviously, considering we're talking about fantasy all-stars, it's going to be career year after career year, so I'm just going to stop saying that. Brad Marchand is doing very well, especially considering it seems a little weird because his line mates, he's playing with Bergeron for a long time, he's playing with Krejci for a while. His line mates aren't doing quite so well. It seems like Marchand is like on his own somehow. This is all going to be fixed, I promise you. This team, aside from Marchand, is struggling in ways they shouldn't be. So just wait, and those guys that have been sitting around, like my trade for JVR for Bergeron will be Bergeron at some point in this year, and I'm hoping it's during the playoffs of fantasy. All right, I also have Nikita Kucherov, the easiest pick from the Lightning, and kind of the only pick other than Hedman, who's the other easy pick from the Lightning. Beyond that, you know, you got Tyler Johnson having a reasonable year, but Ben Bishop's having a horrible year. It's pretty easy to take Kucherov here. Auston Matthews, another easy one from Toronto, although Toronto has a lot of guys that want to be there. You know, you got JVR having a great year, you got Kadri having a pretty good year, you've got Mitch Marner having a good year. William Nylander is cool off a bit, but if you look at his start, he's got a good year going, especially for a rookie. He might be a sophomore at this point, I don't remember. They played him for a few games last season, I don't remember if that was enough for it to be not a rookie anymore, but whatever. Max Pacioretty from Montreal is my fourth forward. He needs no introduction. He's in pretty much every All-Star game. Alexander Radulov, I'm happy to announce
wow.
as my fifth forward. Now, this is like obviously a little... He was on the fence, but I thought he deserved it. You know, he came over here with all this criticism. You know, you pay him $5 million for 1 year and you just kind of throw him a bone and see what he does. And he really picked up and ran with it. He's having a great year. He's going to be a mainstay in the NHL. I don't know. I mean, I assume Montreal's going to try to re-sign him, but he might just hit free agency and see what he can do. He's obviously kind of greedy, so I think he might test the market in the offseason. That'll be interesting. If he does do that, he's going to be the signing for the offseason. My sixth pick, and I'm also happy to see this guy make it back into all-star ranks, is Thomas Vanek. He's struggled the last couple years, as everybody knows. He looked like he was going the way of Danny Heatley and just plummeting to the bottom of the earth. But here he's really found new life in Detroit. I'm surprised, to be honest, but I'm glad to see it. He was always such a fun player to watch when he played in Buffalo. And despite all the negativity he got when he moved to the Islanders, he played awesome with Tavares. He just didn't want to sign the contract. Big mistake for him. We were going to pay him a ton. Now he's making 2.5 mil.
Yep.
Oh, well. He's due for a raise when that contract runs up. I think it's a two-year, but after that, as long as he plays another good year, he's going to get a raise. Who do you have for your forwards?
We actually differ a lot in the Atlantic.
Oh, yeah?
We have a lot of differences. So my captain is the same as yours, Brad Marchand.
I didn't pick Brad Marchand as my captain.
Oh.
I did not. I have not announced my captain yet.
Oh. Oh, there's a change.
There's a change.
Okay, so for me, my captain is Brad Marchand. You can't go any other way. 19 goals, 28 assists. Wow. Outside of that, I have Austin Matthews from Toronto. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have that the same. Now, this is a guy I think you snubbed. Jack Eichel having a great season in Buffalo. And then I'm going to go back to Toronto and Nazem Kadri in Toronto as well.
I like that pick.
He's doing amazing. He's such a surprise. Like, I mostly like him because of the story. He's surprised everybody, I think, and really stepped up to the plate in Toronto. And then
he was a guy with attitude problems back in the day who literally thought he was going to be the best player in the NHL. And it took, some realization and some self-reflection to figure out his place. And now he's done that. He went from trying to be like a sniper, score on every shot type player, and then he went into this like grindery role where he was like just hitting people a lot and taking penalties, and now he's kind of found the balance of like a power forward, get your goals, don't avoid the dirty situations, jam pucks in front of the net, and he gets, two, three hits a game maybe. Not like the five hits a game he was getting, not literally, but he would get a lot more hits in the last couple seasons, but he's really turned into an asset.
Yeah, Babcock has really turned him around, and that's why he's on my all-star roster.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also going to include Vincent Trocheck from Florida.
I like that pick too.
That's a guy who's really stepped up to the plate as well. If you can tell, I like guys who step up and surprise. And Vincent Trocheck has done just that for Florida, and I think he fully deserves a spot on the all-star roster.
He definitely deserves recognition.
And he's on the actual all-star roster too for the other universe NHL.
Good for him.
Good for him. And Henrik Zetterberg is my last pick.
So I still argue.
You have a lot of Canadians in the from the forward core. That's the only thing I don't agree with there.
I have two. You snubbed Max Pacioretty.
You're about to snub someone that I can't believe snubbing.
I still argue Vanek over Zetterberg. His point per game pace is higher. He just hasn't played enough games yet.
I like Zetterberg. That's one of my picks. That's like a star pick that I just like because the fans like.
Okay.
Go to your defenseman, because you're about to piss off a lot of people in Quebec.
Because of Shea Weber? I don't care. Okay, so the first overall defenseman in the Atlantic is not even a question. It's Erik Karlsson. It's going to be Erik Karlsson for everybody who ever picks any All-Star game. The second defenseman is also pretty much no question. It's Victor Hedman. It's going to be Victor Hedman for everybody, unless you want to say Weber's above Hedman, which I think you're high, honestly. Now, third, I didn't have a Buffalo player. I'm not going to take Anders Nilsson as my goalie because he hasn't played enough games. He's played about 20, so it's like he's on the fence, I think, because they're like splitting starts up there with him and Leonard. So I needed a defenseman here, and I really like this player. I mentioned last podcast he's my favorite Sabre, Rasmus Ristolainen. Now, that name, surprisingly, is not Shea Weber, but I love the guy. I needed a defenseman from Buffalo because I didn't have a forward from there. Because I wanted Radulov to get his moment in the sun, so to speak. So Weber gets the snub.
If there was a
fourth defenseman slot, it would be Weber.
Wow.
But there's not.
Weber is almost the third. He is about, in almost every single pool, the third best defenseman fantasy-wise. So, on behalf of all people in Quebec, I am proud and happy to announce that Shea Weber is number one on my depth chart for my all-star roster in the Atlantic and defenseman.
Over Carlson? Are you
almost,
high?
I almost made him my captain.
You are smoking as much crack as you can possibly find, if you believe what you're saying right now.
I mean, he's 100% believe what I'm saying right now over Carlson. Totally. Right now, this season, 100% Weber over Carlson.
30 points in like 50 games. What does Carlson have? Like a million? I bet you Carlson has like 40 something.
We're looking this up right now.
Yeah. He's Carlson testing has me. 41 compared to
Weber. I don't care. I think Weber is much better. Look at the ranks. So on our league in
Weber's
Yahoo.
Weber's high plus minus.
Exactly. Weber has been the better fantasy player, and that's why he's on my team.
Plus minus.
Now,
be using plus
to
minus.
Piss him off even more, Victor Hedman is my second. So I agree with that. Victor Hedman should be second on everybody's. And my third defenseman, almost eked out by Rasmus Ristolainen, is Erik Karlsson.
If you let Rasmus Ristolainen in above Erik Karlsson, this podcast would be over forever. I would consider you an insane person, and that this is just a waste of time. Oh my god! And you guys need to listen to picks from him after all this. Oh my lord! All right,
go with goalies.
Let's go with goalies. You want to talk about snubs?
What?
You want to talk about snubs?
What? No. Go.
I am not going to say Carey Price, and I can't, because I already picked two Montreal players, and honestly, Price does not have a better save percentage than the guys I picked. I lost it. Frederick Anderson from Toronto, having an amazing year. There's a lot of doubt when he got that trade over from the Ducks. Everybody thought Toronto was going to be horrible again. Well, horrible-ish. I think people expected Toronto to be just below the bubble. That's where I put them. I thought they were going to be, you know, a 500 team, you know, that like the 500 team that's like 20-20-10. You know what I mean? They don't make the playoffs, but they're still fun to watch. They're still in contention, so to speak. Anderson's a big part of that. He's got the same save percentage as Carey Price, a 9-2-1. He has a higher goal against average because it's Toronto. But he makes the saves, and the defense can't stop enough of the shots, so it's not on him. Carey Price, I do believe, is the best goaltender in the NHL, but I didn't put him in here just because I think Radulov deserves a little more. Like, Price gets to go to the All-Star game every single time. He is a fantasy MVP, but I wanted to see Radulov and Pacioretty. I think he should be in there too. My second and my captain, for the same reasons, the same reasons I picked Ovechkin, is Roberto Luongo. He's having a good year, and he's freaking hilarious. And I think he would be an amazing captain for an all-star team. Not necessarily because he's going to go out there and be like, all right, guys, let's lead this to the win, blah, blah, blah. But I think he's going to have a lot of fun, and a lot of players are going to have fun with him as their captain.
Wow. I hope if you had an office, every single person from Quebec would be running there with pitchforks right now to burn it down.
Yeah, whatever. They would like the Patrick and Radulov pick.
Okay. My goalies are more obvious and much more rooted in reality. Although we are an alternate all-star universe. Carey Price and Tuukka Rask. That's easy. I'm not going away from that. Carey Price 100% deserves it. Tuukka Rask has also played extremely well on a Boston team that just can't put the puck in the net, yet they're still in contention for a playoff spot. And who is that because of? Both their defense and Tuukka Rask. So, that's the Atlantic. As I said, we were very, very contrarian when it came to the Atlantic.
How many picks did we cross? We'll go over this at the end. We'll talk about how many picks we cross over in each division. I think that'll be fun.
Okay.
Especially considering we're talking about like fantasy players. You'd think there'd be a little bit more, but there's not. Anyway, let's talk about the Central Division now. Let's start with the forwards. My captain is Tyler Seguin. He's having a great year when he's not sick or whatever. He's another fun all-star player. He's also a leader type. All the captains I picked, I think, are leaders. I don't think I would put... I mean, Ovechkin is the captain in Washington, isn't
he? Yeah.
He doesn't, to me, seem like a captain material, to
no,
be honest.
No, I like that pick.
All right. Sagan. Patrick Kane. It's
obviously
easy. I did snub Panarin, but it was hard.
Panarin.
Yeah, it was hard. I took Mark Scheifele. He's another guy that I think deserves to be there. He's having an amazing year. I do think he's going to cool off. But if you're just looking straight at fantasy perspective right now, it's hard to argue with. He's got like 46 points in 48 games or something. So Patrick Laine is my next pick. Another great rookie. It would just be fun to see him in there with McDavid and Austin Matthews. Laine considered himself the better player than Austin Matthews, and he's certainly making an argument. I think consensus still leans slightly towards Matthews, but I mean, Laine had a concussion, so who knows? Either way, I think seeing those two match up against each other would be a lot of fun. Vladimir Tarasenko, an easy pick from St. Louis. And then Eric Staal.
Wow.
Another comeback story from Minnesota. Showing up, playing very well this season. Another guy trying to make a name for himself after a couple bad seasons in Carolina and then on the Rangers last, couldn't mesh with his own brother. So, and I guess the system, that must have been it. But doing well in Minnesota. And it's good to see that and good to see him back in an All-Star game.
Okay, my captain is a surprise. So when I got to the Central, I had a little bit of a problem because I genuinely wanted to make the entire team just Winnipeg and Chicago players. I love what Winnipeg's doing. I think they all deserve an All-Star nod. And I also think Chicago is a good team and they deserve All-Star nods. So with that said, my captain of the Central Division is Mark Scheifele.
Hey.
That, I think he deserves it 100%. He's played incredibly well. And my second forward on the depth chart is Patrick Laine, who also, I think, deserves it. It was really tough. I think Wheeler also deserves a nod, but I had to snub him. I think Laine deserves it more. Third on my depth chart is Vladimir Tarasenko, obviously, from St. Louis. Patrick Kane after that. Patrick Kane has been good. I don't know. I think Patrick Kane is good. I don't think he deserves to be captain this year. I also don't think he deserves to be any higher than fourth.
I don't think he's captain material either, honestly.
No, I don't either. I think if I would have picked him as captain, the only reason I would have picked him as captain is because, one, people like him, and two, he does have a lot of personality at these things. So that's the only reason I would be. I'm also convinced he's drunk at every single one of these all the time. Fifth on that list is Tyler Seguin from Dallas. I think he's good. I don't think he's captain of an All-Star team material, but I can see why. Sixth there is Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
Boo. Only because I have no other Colorado player to really choose. I almost put Tyson Barrie, but spoiler on defense, I did not pick Tyson Barrie. So
obviously, if you already took a Colorado player, who's going to take
clearly
two? So I did take Tyson Barrie. I felt like I didn't have much of a choice. Secondly, I took Duncan Keith from Chicago, and Kevin Shattenkirk, who I'm surprised is not on the actual All-Star roster, but
yeah,
whatever. He's the highest scoring point total defenseman at the moment, especially for fantasy. He's number one in that division for sure. And that's it for my defensemen.
My defensemen are pretty similar. We have two differences.
So they're not similar at all.
Well, I have Duncan Keith as my top defenseman. Obviously, he's been incredible this year in putting up points. Ryan Suter is second for Minnesota. He's also having an incredible year. And third, someone you didn't like,
nope,
but I love, and I think he's been having a good fantasy season, but he's been injured. So if he would have had a regular, I think, if he would have been able to play normally, I think he would have been fine. And I also almost put him as captain, but I think Scheifele deserves it more, is PK Subban. I love PK. I love what he does for fans. I love his personality. I think he's great for the All-Star game. I can't, in good conscience, leave him out of the All-Star game. So PK Subban is my third defenseman, and that wraps up the defenseman for the Atlantic Division.
Could have went Yossi.
Could have went Yossi, but meh. Meh, I like Subban.
I've lost everything here.
You could have gone Yossi.
Thought about it. But yeah, he's also injured, so he doesn't have the kind of point totals that we're looking for.
True.
All right, so let's talk about goalies. Devan Dubnyk, I feel like, is an easy one. He's, along with Bobrovsky, the two goalies that have retarded save percentages. So he's got to be in there. And then my second pick, and my only Nashville representative, is Pekka Rinne.
I have the exact same goalie lineup.
Oh, there you go.
We agreed on that.
We agreed on
one thing. Okay, let's end that division on agreement and move on to the Pacific.
Okay.
So the Pacific's fun. It's the division that's hosting the All-Star game. I consider it just they're going to be at home because they have Kings on their roster. So I also went ahead and named my All-Star MVP early, and I gave it to Connor McDavid.
Oh, I gave mine to Ovechkin.
Oh, you gave your MVP to Ovechkin?
I did.
Of course. Of course, he loves Ovechkin. He took him first overall in our league.
And he basically is first overall.
He almost is. I think he's number two right now in our league. So my captain and All-Star MVP for the Pacific Division is Connor McDavid with 16 goals and 40 assists. Incredible season so far, and really showing why people like tipped him to be basically the next Crosby, the next great player. Secondly, there is Jeff Carter. Kings fans will be happy about that. He's having an amazing season, second in goal scoring. So, or actually, I think now he fell to third or is tied with Cam Atkinson for second.
Something like that, yeah.
Third is Ryan Getzlaff from Anaheim. All the Kings fans in the arena, boo. Fourth, here, this one, no one saw coming. I think Brandon might have because he knows how much I like this guy. Matthew Tkachuk gets the nod from Calgary. I don't think Goudreau deserves it. I don't think Monahan deserves it. God knows Elliott and Chad Johnson don't deserve it.
Chad Johnson was doing well, and then he like threw it all under the bus.
He ruined everything.
Blew like three games in a row.
So Matthew Tkachuk gets it. I think especially if you're in a hits league, the dude is a monster, so he deserves it. Outside of that, Joe Pavelski. And Bo Horvat. Bo Horvat from Vancouver gets the nod. So while your team gets older and older with comeback stories, mine is getting younger and younger with good rookies that are making their, or young guys that are making their way in the NHL.
I mean, my forward core in the Pacific, four of them are the same. I've got Connor McDavid, no captain here. Connor McDavid, Jeff Carter, Bo Horvat, Joe Pavelski. I can't believe you tabbed Getzlaff over Kessler. Kessler deserves it this year. He's been a bigger role than Getzlaff has so far. Getzlaff, year in, year out, is the better player, but so far this year, Kessler has been better, especially in hits leagues. And pins leagues. And then my last is Leon Draisaitl.
That's a good, I like that.
Yeah, he deserves it. The only reason I wouldn't have picked him is if I wanted to use my second Edmonton pick somewhere else, like Talbot, for example.
Yeah.
I think he deserves to be there. He didn't make it last year, I don't think. Did he?
No, Draisaitl didn't make it.
No, so he should be in, and he's been amazing fantasy.
I think he deserves it 100%. I tried to fit him in, but there's a reason I didn't fit him in. We'll get to that.
Is it Talbot?
Maybe.
Okay. Let's go ahead, defenseman. I'll start here. Captain Brent Burns. Of course it's Captain Brent Burns. Talk about a guy who embraces the All-Star games. He showed up with a Chewbacca mask last time. I had a montage before his shootout attempts. I mean, this guy loves this stuff. He loves the limelight. He's a character, and he's an amazing, amazing fantasy defenseman, obviously. The guy's like second or third in scoring, and he's a defenseman. Eric Karlsson used to be the guy up there, and then Brent Burns has just been blown out of the water the last few seasons. All right. Secondly, Olav Ekman-Larsson, my Arizona pick. He's good enough. That's about all you can say about Arizona. It's like the same sort of boat as Colorado. Although I like all of it, I like Oliver Ekman-Larsson a lot more than I like Tyson Barrie this year. We'll see what happens when Tyson Barrie gets a little older, or maybe Colorado stops being bad. My last pick and my only Calgary representative is Dougie Hamilton, having a nice season, surprisingly. He's kind of under the radar for a lot of people, but he's doing pretty well. He's got like 30 points. Definitely somebody to be paying attention to.
Okay, my defenseman, very different. I have Brent Burns as my top. We're not different there. I'm snubbing Ekman-Larsson, and I'm putting in Keith Yandle. Not because of the Ranger ties. I'm putting in Keith Yandle because I really do think he's had a better season than Oliver Ekman-Larsson all around. Especially when you take into account the expectations and where people drafted him. I think Keith Yandle, far and away, has impressed me much more than Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He deserves it. And Kings fans and Los Angeles fans will be happy here. I fully used the three-player rule for the Kings, and I'm including Drew Doughty because I don't know how not to include Drew Doughty. I mean, obviously you have to include a Calgary player, but I think Matthew Tkachuk is more deserving than Dougie Hamilton, and then that opens up a spot for me to put in Drew Doughty, who, might I mention, is a fan favorite in Los Angeles, and you gotta give them what they want. It's like being in Montreal and not putting Shea Weber on your, and Carey Price on your All-Star team.
Can I tell you something about Dougie Hamilton? Can I tell you something about Dougie Hamilton? Who do you think has more points, Dougie Hamilton or Shea Weber? Because the answer's Hamilton. I'm just gonna spoiler alert. Hamilton has more points than Shea Weber. You gave me garbage for not putting Weber on the line, and you snub Hamilton for Doughty.
He's a fan favorite. It's in L.A.
Who else did you pick? You picked Doughty and
Yandel.
Burns. Yeah, get the hell out of here with Yandel. All right.
What forward are you? I'm going to put Max Domi up there. Max Domi and snub. Who am I going to snub? I'm going to snub Bo Horvat, and then I have to find a Vancouver player.
Put OEL in there and take my lineup. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So let's go to the goalies. I think we both took Peter Budaj.
Yeah, I think he deserves it.
Fantastic third stringer coming in. You know, they had Quick, who obviously went down in the
first game of the season.
Who a lot of people picked him pretty high.
I wonder who would have done that.
Pretty high, and he got hurt pretty much immediately. Like, I think he made it like a period in. Anyway, Zatkoff came in first, blew his chance.
Completely.
And then Budaj came in and locked it down. It's not like a fantastic save percentage. He's like a 917, a 918. But his goal against average is super low, which speaks mostly to LA's defense. But which means, you know, when you have somebody that has like a a slightly above average save percentage, but like one of the best goal against averages, you're talking about not allowing shots against, and that's the defense. So Budaj has that going for him. That is to say, if he was on another team, he probably wouldn't be all-star level. But what happened to Zatkoff? So who knows? My other pick is Ryan Miller having a great comeback season with Vancouver. Vancouver started off with a bang, as everybody remembers. Who knows why? It was the weirdest thing. They were like, 6-0 before they lost or something?
They wanted to prove people wrong, and then they started playing hockey, and they were like, wait, actually, we really suck.
Yeah. Well, they're a bubble team now, so they fell apart completely, and now they're like back in the bubble race anyway for the last wild card slot. But Ryan Miller is a big part of why they're still in it. It'll be interesting. This will be a few news and gossip episodes away, but there's a new league restriction on pant size for goalies coming in at the end of the All-Star break. So next week, we're going to talk about how pant size affects goalies. And one of the most affected is going to be the like 6'1", 160-pound Ryan Miller, who wears giant pants. He wears giant pants. So he actually may see, probably not really much, but he may see a difference in his save percentage due to not being able to wear his big pants.
You think they're going to shoot around the pants?
I think if you shoot under his glove or under his, yeah, under his
he's
glove,
not gonna be used to it.
He may not have that like little bit of fabric to deflect or, you know, catch the puck. So
his timing might be a little bit off too.
Yeah, we're stretching here, but it could have some effect.
Yep.
It's going to affect the tall and skinny goalies. So
that would be me.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Except you're not tall.
No, I'm not.
And Vancouver is in the last playoff spot at the moment. So they're they're a minus 18 goal differential. But yeah, they're still in the runnings there.
All my goalies, I think you snubbed this guy hard. The best save percentage in the Pacific Division, Cam Talbot.
I needed Draisaitl. I thought he does have the best save percentage, but it's only by like 2 points over Miller.
And I can't complain. So my goalies are Cam Talbot, and then all of the people in LA, as we said, cheer. Also Peter Budaj. He 100% deserves it. Completely deserves it for LA, and it's at home. There's no better setting for a guy like that to come in from the AHL and really answer the bell as a third string and turn into the starter, and then also be playing at home in an all-star game and get selected. He deserves 100%, and he's my this year's John Scott, along with David Severson.
All right, let's go through the differences we had.
Okay.
So just quickly read off your forwards for the Metro, and I'll tell you which ones I had.
Okay. Alex Ovechkin.
Yep.
Evgeny Malkin.
Yep.
Jeff Skinner.
Nope.
Wow. Wayne Simmons.
Whoa. Nope.
Sidney Crosby.
Yep.
And John Tavares.
Nope. Okay. So we had three crossovers there and three different selections. So that's a total of 9 players between the two of us that we think deserve to be the forward core in the Metro. Like, let's move on to defensemen.
Okay. Ryan McDonough.
Yep.
Damon Severson.
Nope. Obviously.
Of course not. Zach Werenski.
Nope. So that's another, five?
Yep.
Yeah. 5 defensemen we had that we think should be in. And now let's talk about goalies. We have the same
goalies.
Bobrovsky, not Holtby. Easy.
Yep.
All right, Atlantic forwards. Who you got?
Brad Marchand.
Yep.
Auston Matthews.
Yep.
Jack Eichel.
Nope.
Nazem Kadri.
Nope.
Vincent Trocheck.
Nope.
Henrik Zetterberg.
Nope. Yeah, you don't have Kucherov. So,
nope.
So that's 10. 10 different forwards.
Wow. All
right, defenseman.
Shea Weber.
Nope.
God. Victor Hedman.
Yes.
Erik Karlsson.
Yes. So okay. Four defensemen. Not too much different there. Goalies.
Carey Price.
Nope.
Tuukka Rask.
Nope. So we had completely different goalies. So we had four goalies that we think deserve to be in the Atlantic.
The Atlantic was the worst. That's yeah. The one we're completely different on.
All right, let's talk about Central.
Okay. Captain Mark Scheifele.
Yep.
Patrick Laine.
Yep.
Vladimir Tarasenko.
Yep.
Patrick Kane.
Yep.
Tyler Seguin.
Yep.
Nathan MacKinnon.
Eric Staal. Okay. So there's our difference, and yours is probably because of Colorado. Yep. So there's seven forwards there. Thank you, Colorado, for ruining everything. Defenseman?
Duncan Keith.
Yep.
Ryan Suter.
Nope.
PK Subban.
Nope. You snubbed Shattenkirk too. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's five defensemen.
For PK.
Five defensemen. Only one crossover.
Yep.
Goalies.
Goalies, I put. Hold on. I lost my place.
I mean, you've highlighted everything in the entire document. Now.
Devin Dubnyk.
Yep.
Pekka-Rinne.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Pacific.
Pacific. Connor McDavid.
Yep.
Jeff Carter.
Yep.
Ryan Getzlaf.
Kessler.
Matthew Tkachuk.
Nope.
Of course not. Joe Pavelski.
Yep.
Bo Horvat.
Yep. So that's eight between us.
Yep.
Defenseman.
Brent Burns.
Yep.
Keith Yandle.
No.
Drew Doughty.
No.
Cam that's Talbot.
Five. Nope.
And lastly, Peter Budaj.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So that's three goalies, five defensemen. Okay.
A lot of differences.
So that's our alternative fantasy all-star picks.
Kind of think ours is more exciting.
I think so too.
I like ours better.
All right, let's move on to the top overall picks for tonight's huge 13-game slate.
It's massive. That's all we're going to talk about tomorrow is just games
and
how people perform, because then we don't have anything to talk about after that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Tyler Seguin versus Buffalo. He has points in his last two and no less than three shots in either. He put up three last game, seven the game before. So I'm expecting him to get a lot of shots against Buffalo. The downside to this, and something to keep an eye out on, is that last game between the two on January 16th, the Sabres won 4-1. But I think there's a little bit of an element of revenge. I think the Stars are playing a little bit better. Jamie Benn is back. I don't think he was back during that January 16th game.
So
that helps a lot. So my overall top pick is Tyler Seguin.
All right. My overall pick is Braden Holtby visiting the Devils. The Devils have had a lot of trouble scoring lately. They did have a couple 4-goal games in the last, six. But in their last 10 games besides those two games, they had like one or two games where they scored two goals, and every other game they scored one or less. So I think this is going to be a one or less type game, and I think that means Holtby is going to really crush them. Plus, Holtby's one of the best in the business.
Oh, yeah.
All right, value picks.
My value pick is going to go with a guy I've been talking about so much lately, and I like him a lot, and his price is nuts. Burakovsky for only $4,000 against New Jersey all day. I'd put him in every lineup. I love that. On defense, I really like this guy. A lot of people hate him for some reason. I think he's great. Dion Phaneuf. He's only 4,000. He's against Calgary, which is a great matchup with how they've been playing recently. And he's on the second pairing, but he's on the top power play. So I like Dion Phaneuf. He's been having really, really good games lately. He's actually one of the top defensemen in terms of ranks in every league. So
it's league for sure.
Yeah, games. Especially that.
I was going to say something about one of these things. I forget. All right. My value picks are Zach Smith, Ottawa versus Vancouver at versus Calgary at home, $4,100. He's playing very well late with 4 points in his last two games. Strong second line along with Brassard and Mark Stone. He's got top power play minutes, and Calgary has been just getting roasted lately. So if that keeps up, good news for them. But I do remember what I was going to say. The Devils are playing Keith Kincaid tonight. So that actually may... I mean, Kincaid's unproven, but so far, Schneider's proven himself to be a little shaky this season, so this may be a little harder for Washington. We'll see. My second and defenseman-type value pick is Dmitry Orlov. Washington against the Devils, as we've mentioned. He's only $3,900 on DraftKings. I still like that matchup, even with Kincaid in net. Orlov has been very good lately. He had those two blast slap shots a couple games ago. If he keeps that up, he's going to keep getting points. I like him for maybe two shots. He's probably going to be a plus, and I wouldn't be surprised to see an assist or a goal in there.
Yep. there you go. Well, we went about 10 minutes over our usual max runtime, but I think that the alternative All-Star selection was really fun and exciting, and hopefully you guys choose to watch the alternative All-Star game over the actual All-Star game on Sunday at I think it's like 12 Eastern. I don't know. Something like that. We're making it 12 Eastern. It's 12 Eastern on Sunday. So thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.
Yep. Thanks for listening.